Say something for the record. Tell the people what you feel.
Fuck the record and fuck the people.
This episode of the podcast Under the Stairs is brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Check out the podcast Under the Stairs and many other shows over at legionpodcast.com. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is episode number 99. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. Episode 99 sees our continuation. This is the second week of Listener Choice December 2016. And up was your choice for horror Christmas film. Now this one went to an extensive poll, was shortlisted to less than the usual total that we would expect for some of the more harder fought polls on the Teaputz Facebook group page. However, nonetheless, it still became an interesting battle that saw a definitive win for 1989's Elves. That's right, 1989's Elves. We could have had some good times, guys, but you went with Elves. Still trying to get my head around the fact that this show's reviewing Elves. I don't know what I did to upset yous, but that's the movie you want me to cover, and I thought if I'm going to suffer in misery watching this movie, which is very entertaining, but not necessarily very well put together, I would bring back a guest who I've not spoken to in quite some time on podcasts, but a friend that is near and dear to my heart. Later on in this show, I'll be joined by Ryan fucking Lewis from Grave Shift Radio, and we're going to chat some Elves. I'm really looking forward to getting that conversation underway very shortly. However, in the interim, let's do some updates to what is happening. So, if you follow the Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/TeaputzCast, you will know that I posted a slight amended update to the shows running in December. So, this show, obviously, is our second listener suggestion of 2016 December, and next week I'll be joined with the Baz for his poll that he ran, which gave us the fantastic option of The Wicker Man. So we'll be doing that next Monday, so a week from the day of this episode dropping. And then we have our Christmas Eve commentary, which lands on, wait for it, Christmas Eve, and we are covering Night of the Creeps. Now, the Baz is a very, very busy man. He is a very young child, is burning the candle at more ends than a candle actually has, so we're still trying to work out the science behind that. However, he is unable to make any of the dates I put forward for that commentary, and rather than cancel the commentary altogether and to get it out on time, the decision was made that he will skip this Christmas commentary. I dare say he will make it up on some future commentary. You know what the Baz is like. He will never shortchange you, listeners. He will always give you more than your money's worth. So, to continue on with the Night of Creeps commentary, because I don't want to change and put up to the poll and all the rest, I decided I would get the assistance of two other podcasters, and if the fates smile upon us and the stars align in the right place, I will be joined for that Christmas Eve commentary with the rather fantastic Bo Ransdell from the Hero Hero Ghost Show, Duncan and Bo Come Correct, the Schadenfreude Gaming podcast, and he is the showrunner over at Legion Podcast Network, and my bro from another hoe, Danny Trioxin from the Midnight Horror Show. So we're going to probably get pretty drunk when doing that. I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I want to get kind of drunk, and we'll be recording at some ungodly hour to accommodate my American compadres, so keep your eyes peeled for that. That will, as always with all our commentaries, go out in audio form as well as a video with attached commentary as well, so that'll be dropping on Christmas Eve in time for you to wrap your presents. So that is the update. We will then take approximately 2 weeks off, That is the grand tradition of Teapots. We take a couple of weeks off over Christmas, spend time with our loved ones. Myself and Baz will go out for a drinking session, which will involve much planning, a large map of the world planted out, and us standing over the top of it with military precision, trying to work out the best place to target the podcast under the stairs in 2017. We will probably most likely discuss some of the shows that will come up in 2017 and kind of sort out the details for his end of year assessment as he faces off against the rest of the Rob Zombie filmography. So I'm really looking forward to that. Updates on the posters. It looks like we will be in a position come next week to put up the poster design well in advance of its purchase on the Teapots Facebook group page and on Twitter and on Instagram as well. So it will be this is what it looks like, and it will be coming in a physical format in whatever date that'll be, most likely January. And if everything goes according to plan, I will also at that point be getting some sort of merch in the way of t-shirts or tops sorted as well. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Very much looking forward to getting that out. I saw the most recent design of the poster this week and it looks fucking amazing. Can't stress enough how amazing this poster is. Myself and the Baz are like giddy like schoolgirls in anticipation of finally bringing you what has been a couple of months in the planning, but over a year in the making, the very special podcast poster commemorating Baz v Horror. So, with all that said and done, it's time for me to take a very short break. When I come back, I'll be joined by my guest, the fantastic Ryan Lewis, and we're going to be looking at your movie suggestion for Christmas horror movie, 1989's Elves. But first, I need to catch up with Ryan, see what's going on in his neck of the woods, what's going on in his world, and to confirm that he is, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, not dead, contrary to what has been posted on Facebook and what some of the listeners of Grave Shift Radio actually think. So I'll be back with Ryan right after this.
Hello and welcome to Hello, This is the Doom Show. I'm Richard.
And I hate the burning.
Shh, who are you? Speak.
And I'm Brad.
She came in and said, bark, bark, bark. And he said, bark, bark, bark. And she said, bark, 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 bark. That's what I got.
One is the Suspiria boner. The other is the Inferno boner. Anyway.
Which one is crying? The boner of tears.
Hello, This is the Doomed Show is available on hellodoomedshow.podomatic.com and doomedmoviethon.com.
Hello, hello, this is the Doomed Show. Richard, Brad, Jeffrey, Naffa.
It's the Doomed Show.
Hello,
hello,
this is the Doomed Show. Slashers, G.I. Joe, and Ho.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God, a butthole casserole!
And welcome back. So, here we go. This is the second listener choice episode, and for this one, you got to pick your choice for a Christmas horror movie. And yeah, there was some pretty
you rat bastards.
Yeah, there were some pretty incredible ones on the list. And there was this movie. And that's where you guys went. And I was full of praise last episode. I was like, you guys are the greatest. Young Frankenstein, you know, Monster Squad, two of my favourite movies ever. Both 5-star reviews. You know, I absolutely love this shit. My listeners know what's up. And then you pick this. Not only do you pick this for a guest who has not been on this show for a full year that I've not spoken to, like, verbally in communication terms with words through microphones and not in terms of Facebook conversations in about a year. A lot of people have been concerned that this guy is now like some sort of hermit living on the side of a mountain somewhere, like off the fucking grid.
My toenails are getting pretty long, though.
Tinfoil hats, so the government can't hear his thoughts. But yeah, this is the movie you pick for him to come on my show. You should hang your heads in shame, listeners. It is my absolute 100% fucking pleasure to introduce legitimately one of my favourite people in the entire world. He is the host of Graveshift Radio. He is the main man there. Just genuinely one of the manliest fucking men ever. That illness has tried to kill him twice in the last year and a half, and he stared illness right in the face and said, "Come on then." And he bested it both times. It is, of course, the fantastic Ryan Lewis. How the fuck are you doing, sir?
I'm alive, son. Fucking death tries to take me. I flip it over and stick it in the ass. I'm telling you, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh my god. Yeah, we were speaking just off air there about the we actually had to stop our conversation off air because we've got quite a lot to say about this movie tonight. But like I do with all my guests, I like to just at the beginning just shoot the shit, a bit of chat and all the rest. And you are currently in the process of doing what most people, including myself, would consider one of the most stressful things to do in the history of man. You are moving not only yourself and your lovely wife, but your kids as well, to a new home, which involves a lot of packing, a lot of making sure everything's all right, and then transporting things and then reassembling your life somewhere else. My question to you, sir, is, are you a centimetre close to Jack Nicholson from The Shining, or are you still quite a distance?
I think Jack Nicholson would look at me and shake his head and say, "Son, you need to calm down." I'm serious, dude. No one wants to speak to me right now. The fact of the matter that you contacted me and say, "Let's do this," I was like, "I don't know if you want to speak to me right now. I'm homicidal. I can't even speak right now. I'm just so fucking angry. This is the most stressful thing in the world, but it is our home this time. You know, bought this house. I've been dying to own my own house forever, and it's finally fucking happening. And right now, my kids might cry when I enter a room, and my wife might not want to look at me. But when we are done, and we are in there, I swear to Christ, I'm going to be happy."
I say, you posted some photos as well. Cracking house, man. Really, really, really nice. I will need to make sure that at some point in my journeys and my travels that I pop by.
Oh, dude, it has to happen. You know, yeah. I have those nice 1990s above ground pools in the backyard.
I did see that.
We are going to fucking swim and eat cupcakes and shit.
So, like,
you sit there saying I'm one of the manliest people you know. I'm like, we must swim and eat cupcakes.
But see, the way you said it, it made me feel inadequate that I haven't been swimming and eating cupcakes. I kind of feel less than a man that I haven't been doing it, just the way that you said it.
That's all right. When you finally come to the fucking States, I'll fix that.
Yeah, too right, man. Too right. We should address this elephant in the room that I did tell you that people have been bending my ear, so to speak, and kind of nudging me to ask you the question about Graveshift. So for those that don't know, for the new listeners, and I do have a ton of new listeners at the moment who are kind of getting into like podcasts under the stairs and some of the other stuff. Graveshift Radio is podcast that you founded several years ago now, about the same timeline as Podcast Under the Stairs, I think, isn't it? It's a couple of months out with. And that show ran kind of first as you and your brother, and then you and John Rhodes, and then later with Bo Ransdell, and then later with myself. So there was a group of four of us. And then we got Dave Anders Jr. from Devouring right towards the very end. There had been an extensive layoff of the show for a while because you contracted like a disease that literally tried to kill you. And we came back and we did this kind of big, "We're back and here we go," and all the rest. And then the show vanished from the airwaves. The back catalogue is still there, and everyone can listen to it exclusively on Legion or through the individual feed on iTunes. But the show vanished. Can you give us an update status on Graveshift Radio?
Well, like I was telling you off air, we came back for that Graveshift fucking return show, and I was so excited about this. But, you know, I was still feeling like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, came back from the hospital, almost died. But, you know, everything was everything, and I was trying to press on, but I just didn't get any better. It just kept... It festered and it moved and it got into my lungs and it made things even worse. And it got to the point where I was just walking around like a dead person and taking short breaths and not knowing why and just thinking, oh, maybe I need vitamins. Maybe I got a cold. Maybe I need that, until I collapsed again and ended up at the hospital and almost died. So the point is, the show will be coming back. The show is going to return. I can't wait for it to return. I really can't, because I am dying to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my family doesn't want to talk to me. Somebody has to, so it's going to be you guys.
I actually can't wait. It's one of those shows where, like, I can't stress how much fun the recording of those shows are, and they tend to end up going in directions you wouldn't expect, right from the start. And yeah, I can't stress enough to listeners of this show, if you get the opportunity, if you find yourself caught up with podcasts under the stairs or just looking for a change away from me speaking all the time, which, trust me, I understand that feeling, Graveshift Radio is the way to go. And you can, the full feed is still up there, it's still accessible, you can still listen to all the, in fact, John Rhodes posted very, very recently that he'd actually started going back through listening to them all, and he prompted me, and I've kind of hankering to sit back down and listen to some old school Graveshift Radio and get that back in my life. And I trust me, no one is more excited to hear you say that show's coming back than me.
Excellent. And fuck yeah, as soon as we get the house back going and things exactly how I want them to be, the show's coming back. It's coming back in a vengeance. This is going to feel even better when it comes back, because I'm going to be in my house and I'm going to be out of the fucking ghetto, and there might not be gunshots when we're recording, even though that always makes it a little spicy. But
my favorite one was the time we were about to record and someone drove a car into the power supply for the entire block.
Right. Insane. So no more of that kind of shit. No more recording and then suddenly finding out that somebody got shot and collapsed on my front porch. There's not going to be any of that going on, because I bought a nice house in a nice area and getting out of the ghetto. And my family's really positive about it. And once we're feeling good and positive about it, that's when it's going to be time to be creative again.
Mm-hmm. So it's
happening. I just can't let the show go. It's my baby.
It's, and what a beautiful baby it is. Manly baby.
Right on. And I'm glad you're a part of it. This baby has large nuts and hair all over
it. Right, like I said, just in the introduction there, I put out the options for Christmas horror movie. The podcast Under the Stairs listeners spoke strong and resolute. This one won by quite a bit, actually. It was Elves that won out the competition. You bastards. And myself and Ryan are going to discuss that movie, but we have to take a short break first. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You are also going to hear the trailer from Elves from 1989. And when I return, myself and Ryan are going to be discussing that movie right after this.
Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story.
They tried to kill us.
You ungodly warlock.
But we just won't stay dead.
What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
The Midnight Horror Show. The internet's goriest and raunchiest horror podcast since 2008. Now live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at tmhsradio.com. Listen on your mobile device with the TuneIn app. Search TMHS Radio or download us at iTunes, Podomatic, or the TMHS Radio page.
Hi, I'm Joe Parker, and I'd like to invite you to check out my show, The Hybrid Moments Podcast. I'm just an average guy with a slew of interests, and the podcast is an extension of that. The theme of the show varies episode by episode, but some of the topics I cover include horror, music, comics, just about anything but politics. So if you like a little variety in your life, come on by and check out the show. You can find me on iTunes or Stitcher, or check out the website, thehybridmomentspodcast.com. You can also join the group on Facebook at The Hybrid Moments Podcast in the group section. Feel free to mingle, leave feedback, or suggestions for future shows. That's The Hybrid Moments Podcast with Joe Parker. Tune in and see what I cover next.
An innocent romp in the woods turns into a hellish nightmare when an evil force is accidentally awakened. Action International Pictures presents the gruesome holiday shocker, Elves. They're not working for Santa anymore.
I had a rough day at work. Santa got murdered.
Their mission, to mate with a virgin and conquer the world as a pint-sized master race.
I'm saving it for someone special.
Dan Haggerty stars as Mike McGavin, an ex-detective working on hard times.
First you send and then you die.
She is the most important person on Earth. From her will grow the new order.
Santa must expose this unholy force before the elves destroy Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
Elves. They're not working for Santa anymore.
And welcome back. So here we go. you guys. This is Elves from 1989. You've just heard the trailer. This one is written and directed by Jeffrey Mandel. This guy as well.
He was trying something, wasn't he?
He was on something.
very well, good of him. Yeah.
He's as a director. He didn't do many movies, and he's only got 4 credits to his name. And the last one was called Turnaround in 1998, and I have never heard of it before. And when you click in it, there is no artwork or nothing at all, which is usually a sign for things didn't go well after Elves. this guy right. didn't really...
He's an interesting... Okay, there's a cat in this, dude, that's called Agamemnon.
I know.
This is a guy that's not thinking straight, per se.
No, I think, we're going to get into the plot of this movie. Very, very shortly. But yeah, the movie stars Dan Haggerty's in this movie.
Oh man, he's so manly.
He is very, very manly. In this movie though, he is he's something else. Julie Austin, Diana Lund, Boris Silver, Mansell Rivers Bland, Christopher Graham, other folks. I'm not going into the synopsis. Chances are you know no one in this movie out with Dan Haggerty, and I'll be honest with you, I'm cool with that. Synopsis for this one, as written by Martin Moretti on IMDb, a young woman discovers that she is the focus of an evil Nazi experiment involving selective breeding and summoned elves, an attempt to create a race of super men. She and 2 of her friends are trapped in a department store with an elf, and only Dan Haggerty, as the renegade loose cannon Santa Claus, can save them. I mean, he's playing Footloose and Fancy Free with some of the stats.
Right.
He didn't finish this movie. He never got to the forest at the end. If he makes it sound like it's some sort of siege movie, which it isn't. It really isn't. I saw this movie years ago. I want to say I saw this movie... possibly early 90s, and I must have seen it on VHS because I can't imagine any scenario where this played on UK TV. And I always had it in the back of my head that it wasn't a very good movie. So much so that I sent you a message saying, this is a movie, if memory serves, it's not a very good movie. And both me and you have watched it tonight. In my case, this is the second time I've ever seen this movie. In your case, this is the first time you've ever seen this movie.
Right.
And the last like five messages I've had from you tonight, three of those have been the sentence, this fucking movie. So we're in for something special here. I can't understand. I wrote on the Facebook page earlier on that there's a special place in hell for people that voted for this one above some of the other ones that were on the list. But I kind of see why people voted for it. I think they genuinely appreciate how bad this movie is. This is the epitome. When people talk about so bad it's good, this is the sort of movie they're talking about. They're talking about elves. Am I right?
Right. Has to be.
Has to be. It's so batshit crazy. So the plot synopsis kind of listed out there kind of plays a bit interesting. We do have a young woman, works at a department store. It is on the run-up to Christmas. She's out with her grandfather's book in the woods performing some sort of weird ritual to try and get them caught. If that was my understanding, it was basically to
one
try
of them wanted cock, and the other two maybe wanted to just denounce Christmas. That's pretty much what I got.
My kind of thought on this is that clearly they do not understand that as women they can have cock when they want it.
All they have to do is say cock, and then they will have one put into their hand.
Yes, pretty much, or seven flung at their face. Because
that has always worked for me.
They obviously didn't understand that they had the power all along. So during this, the lead girl cuts her hand and unintentionally summons an elf. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, Ryan. Elves, those are those lovely little creatures that help Santa build all those presents to deliver all around the world. They're not like that in this movie. They're kind of like a grey version of the Ghoulies.
Right.
That's exactly what they look like, actually, when I think about it. You never actually see this one's legs. You only ever see its kind of top half of its body. And I think that's because budgetary constraints didn't allow it to have a bottom half.
Right, no bottom half and no ability to close its fucking mouth.
I kept thinking, watching this movie, I kept thinking, you know, anyone that says Rawhead Rex is like a pretty bad movie needs to see this movie and they will understand that Rawhead Rex is a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece compared to this fucking film.
So, she unintentionally resurrects an elf who then goes on a bit of a killing spree, gets a little bit stabby-stabby because that's how elves kill people. And I'll be honest, I couldn't remember much about this movie, and for 45 minutes of this movie, that's how I thought the movie was going. I mean, you must have been in the same boat as this elf, just going around doing the stabby-stabby.
Yeah, an elf is going to kill people, and that's the extent of it, and it looks shitty. So, okay, it's a low budget elf stabby film.
Yeah, stabby-stabby. I'm cool with that. It wasn't until the Nazi plot came out that I really realised that we're onto something special here, Ryan.
First off, I'm going to say they obviously didn't want to call this elf or elves. They really wanted to call this troll because they called this fucking thing a troll about 7,000 times. Yeah. And you know, elf only comes up a couple times. They must have been very upset when they found out the troll and Troll 2 existed.
It's like they can't make up their mind like at all at any point in this movie what sort of movie this actually is. Like the last 10 minutes of this movie, we're going to get into this. The movie has a real difficulty really kind of focusing on with the girl who we should really be following in this movie, because we spend a lot of time with Dan Haggerty, and he is, you could argue that on some level he is one of the main heroes of this movie. He's fairly inept in this movie, and his whole purpose in this movie appears to be to ultimately give the kind of crystal to the brother to run and save his sister from the elf troll or whatever. But it's really weird how, and isn't it, his backstory's character development is thin here. Like, really, really,
he
really
is, yeah, he's a detective or an ex-detective that lost his job due to drinking, but he was the best in the business. But now he's out of work and he'll take anything. Luckily for him, a fucking elf killed a Santa Claus that was coked up and asked some chick for oral.
So this is a very posh Santa here asking for oral.
Absolutely.
Oral.
But yeah, so that happens, and then he's just thrown into the story. No, his whole point in this film is to play detective and walk around with his, I don't know if the Foley artist was going fucking crazy, but he had the loudest fucking heels of any person humanly possible, because when he was walking around it sounded like fucking high heels for the whole movie. And is just to get the storyline, to get the plot of somehow Nazis creating elves to be super soldiers and then trying to raise the Antichrist through a virginal birth in a perfect race individual, which could only be put there by grandfather fucking his daughter and creating this offspring, which would be the perfect breeding ground for these elves. Now, if they just said that at the end of the movie, period, and just said, hey, this is what this movie's about, you wouldn't be able to take it. But because you had fucking Kenny Loggins walking around questioning scholars and those of the like getting this story, it gives you time to let that sink in before the end fucking debauchery.
I mean, the movie, it's like two different movies. The first half of this movie is your kind of standard kind of creature monster affair, but done on a very poor level. I mean, you can mention movies like Ghoulies, Critters, like a far push, something like Gremlins, and it kind of fits as a really poor example of that. The second half of this movie is where things just go straight up bananas, and in a way where what I love about this is the movie just never at any point thinks it's being absurd. Like, it's just like, well, no, this is naturally, like, when we were speaking off air, I'd say, like, you were talking about, you like laid out the entire plot of this movie and you were like, that I could never have believed it would have went there. And I jokingly said back to you, I mean, I don't understand how you couldn't see it going there. It was obvious. And that's what the movie's like. The movie changes the plot in such a matter of fact way, as if, you know, it was asking you what the time was. You know what I mean? It's like, we're just going to drop Nazis in here and incest, as if, you know, as if I was asking you what the time is, or can I have a smoke or something? You know what I mean? In some ways, that's how you know. Like, my kind of criteria for so bad it's good has always been along the lines of, if a movie is genuinely trying to be a movie, but it's just failing across the board, that's when you know it's, you know, so bad it's good. Because I genuinely think that Jeffrey Mandel was sitting there thinking, and we can put these elements in, and we can do this, and we can do this, and it can go this way. And I mean, this is the 80s, and in the 80s we really were just throwing everything into giant, you know, melting pots. And, you know, some of it worked and some of it didn't work. And I have this feeling, without having known, you know, the people involved with the movie, but I genuinely feel that this is coming from a place of like innocence. Like, someone is genuinely trying to make like a really kind of interesting, well, maybe interesting is too much, he's definitely trying to make a movie, and it's like a legitimate movie. They're not trying to make a bad movie.
This guy's heart was in the right place. He was really trying. He was sitting there writing this shit down, saying, oh my God, I'm a fucking genius. Who would have thought of this? Nobody would have fucking thought of this. This is brilliant. And to a point, I'm not going to say it's brilliant. It's not brilliant, but this film is so out of fucking nowhere absurd, I have to commend it in a way, because like you said, dude, we're watching this movie and who the fuck would have thought it was going to turn to fucking Nazis making elves to create the Antichrist? Who the fuck would have thought this? Nobody in a million years. But that's what you get with this fucking movie. I'm almost jealous in a way that you were privy to watch this more than one time. I love shitty films, mm-hmm. especially shitty films that try to say something. And this movie's trying to say something, and it's certainly shitty. But god damn it, it's fucking interesting. I was watching this movie, man, with a smile on my face the whole time. Just went from what the fuck am I watching? Oh my god, this fucking movie. To oh my god, this fucking movie. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This film is such a festering piece of dog shit that manages to make me have faith in film creators. Because if a shitty director writing a shitty movie could come up with something at least this fucking original, there's faith that a good director with good writing ability could come with something that's gonna knock my fucking socks off.
Oh my god, like there were a couple of bits where I was like that. You know, as actors, do you realise, like, I kind of wonder how much the actors were kind of privy to how bad this was going to be, because at one point Haggerty uses the line, "I need to know the connection between the elves and the Nazis."
One of the best sentences ever put on film.
Yeah, he says it, and I'm kind of thinking, see when he said that, you know, like, I just imagine, like, see me and you, Ryan, me and you, see if someone gets us to do something and, yeah, or read something out, see if someone said tomorrow, Ryan, what I want you to do is I want you to record me something using your recording equipment. I want you to record me an ad. And you're like, right, cool, what's it? Right, so here's the script. And the opening line was, "I need to know the connection between the elves and the Nazis." You'd stop after that, wouldn't you? You'd stop after saying that and go, "Can I just ask what this is about, please?"
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Oh, Christ.
So, so good. Like, and there's weird incest riddled in this movie, like the
little, from jump,
from right at the beginning, like Willie, the brother, is kind of caught like checking his sister out while she's kind of getting ready and stuff, and like
right.
He's like that, you know, it's okay, here, a girl, and she's like, "I'm your fucking sister," you know what I mean? What the fuck are you doing?
And that's the thing, you're a director and a writer, knows this story, he knows where it's going, he knows by the end of this film, you're supposed to care about this little boy.
Mm.
You're supposed to sit there and say, "Oh, I hope the elf doesn't get him." Or I hope he gets back to fucking Fogarty and gets that crystal and brings it to the sister so he can help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do that, why in the beginning of the film do you have him in his Ninja Turtle pajamas spying on his sister fresh out of the shower and then telling her, "Oh my god, your tits are so fucking big and I'm gonna tell everybody how big your fucking tits are," and she says, "What are you spying on me? I'm your sister." He goes, "I don't give a fuck." You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me.
You haven't spiced that up with your language either. This kid, like, he drops the F-bomb repeatedly and no one reacts to his language. Like, no one reacts. He tells his mum to fuck off or something later on in the movie and she doesn't bat an eyelid. No one is acknowledging that this kid either has Tourette's or is, you know, a 45-year-old pimp trapped in a small child's body. No, you know, no one reacts to it. It's really, really, really weird.
Right, it's almost like Rob Zombie wrote this film. You got mom later fucking catching a cat, the girl's cat Amenemnon, and putting it in a fucking pillowcase and drowning it in the fucking toilet.
In the toilet, yeah. It's so strange. Like, because when she comes back after Santa dies, she comes in the door and she's looking for a cat. And, you know, the mum's like that, you don't look great, you kind of look terrible. And she's like, well, yeah, I've had a rough day. Santa got murdered. And I'm just like, these lines are just fucking
right.
Hilarious. Like, actually hilarious. And the mum's just like, that's not funny. And like,
I don't find that funny at all.
If my daughter came in looking like death warmed up, said she had a rough day at work, firstly, she shouldn't be saying I had a rough day at work. She'd be traumatised. She seems okay with it, but she's like, that Santa got murdered. it's the delivery is just so matter of fact on everything. It's like there's no real emotion in this movie. It is kind of like everyone is kind of robotic, but in the best possible way.
Right.
It's so weird. Good.
you find out, okay, which I will give a little credit to this film, you know, bear with me. Mom drowns the cat and all that shit, talks to her like dog shit, and then, you know, she has a son that curses at her and she doesn't seem to get too terribly mad at it and everything else. But then you find out later that Grandpa, which is Mom's father, fucked her in order to create the daughter. And the daughter had no idea that happened. So trace that back through the whole film. She treats the daughter like shit, killed her cat because she hates her.
Yeah.
And the reason why she hates her is because she was raped by her dad.
Yeah.
To create her. So I'll give that. That little moment. Okay. It even had that moment of her, the mom staring in the staring at herself in the mirror, putting on lipstick and putting it on thicker and thicker and thicker just to show that she was truly fucked in the head.
Because, yeah, she's damaged. Yeah,
she's damaged goods, and I'll give it that. But the rest of it, you know what I mean, is fucking insane. Even how the girls talk to each other, like the friends, as they are speaking and talking to each other, there's nothing believable about it. There's in no way do you think people really speak this way. They kind of looked at it and said, well, teenage girls say each other's names a lot in the beginning of every sentence and then talk shit to each other in everything they do. And that's all they tried to do. Christ.
Do you know this movie is a PG-13 or was a PG-13 when it was released?
Get the fuck out of here.
No, it was a PG-13. I can only assume it never got released properly. You know what I mean? It maybe just went straight to VHS, and maybe there were still some issues where things were slipping through the cracks. But yeah, it's PG-13. According to IMDb, anyway, people out there might want to correct me. But the language and content alone...
Right, the language, content, the fact that you get to see mom's lovely rack in the bathtub as well.
Yes, there's a prime example of the body has not aged the same way the face has, because her body is a lot younger than... And it's not a body double, it's her, like, writhing... No,
poorly.
Like, she dies by electrocution in the bath, and it is one of the worst. Like, I've always found these things quite funny in movies. Like, see when someone drops, like, an electrical appliance in the bath, like, see after the initial sparks of, you know, the appliance hitting the water, there is no sparks after that. Because either the device shorts out, or the fuse in your house blows, but it doesn't continue to do it. This goes on for about... Oh, it goes like the clip of her writhing around in the bath goes on for about 30 seconds. And then we follow another part of the story and then come back about 5 minutes later. And it's still sparking and popping and all that in the bath and all like that. This is like the longest electrocution scene in the history of man.
Right. It's like they don't expect horror people. If you want to call this a horror movie, I guess it could be.
It's listed as a horror movie, and the only way I could think you could... I think it's because there's a monster in it. I think that's literally the only way you could call this a horror movie is there's a monster in it.
But yeah. Okay, can I, real quick, can I jump to the end of this movie?
Oh, by all means.
Because, God damn it, you either watched this movie because you wanted us to watch this thing, or you didn't watch it and it just sounded horrible and you wanted to hear us talk.
I think it may be the latter. I think there's a lot of people that tick their name beside this movie. That's right, I'm calling you out on this show. There's a lot of people that tick their name beside this movie because they read the synopsis on IMDb and have never sat down and watched this movie front to back, like myself and Ryan had to.
Hmm. Does she get fucked by the elf?
See, I, like, it cuts away, right?
It does.
And there is an extended period of time when it cuts away. And then at the very end of the movie, the last clip we see looks like some sort of elf embryo inside the womb. Right. So the assumption, but I don't know if she's already, like, it's really misleading towards the end in that they keep saying, like, even the Nazi guy that's not our grandfather says it's too late, you know, these things, you know, this was already, all the things that happened before Haggerty even got involved with it, you know, that this is all, you know, he kept saying it's too late, and I didn't understand why he would say that.
All of this has been in motion before you and I were even born.
Yeah, so I'm like, but I don't understand that bit, if you know what I mean. So, because why is there no, like, let's put it this way, right? She has, like, two legs. The creature doesn't appear to have any legs. She can move a lot faster than he can.
Yeah, because that thing is being puppeteered incredibly poorly, and it's barely fucking moving.
It's barely moving. So, I mean, she could outwalk it. It's not as if she's ever actually in any real danger in this movie. Even when she's lying down and it's crawling towards him, I get the feeling that if she just put her foot on it and kicked it back, she'd be okay. So obviously, for tension purposes,
yeah. But the only reason I ask is because, number one, yeah, the embryo thing at the end, you see the heart beating inside it and it moving like it's levitating in the darkness. Mm-hmm. But before that, there's this moment. It's incredibly awkward, where she's sitting there and this thing is like crawling ever so closer, and it's almost headlong with her.
Yeah.
And then you see the back of its shoulder, which makes it look far bigger than it is. And then it's getting closer and closer, and she's moving her face, and then it like looks like it's about to make face contact, and then it goes back to the scene of the house. Mm-hmm. So I guess he fucked her? That's the only way that ending makes any sense.
It reminds me, like, the kind of slow motion crawl of this thing towards her as she's like, no, no, like, this is very similar to that scene in Austin Powers. Right. Where the henchman's going to get run over by the steamroller, and he's like, shouts no, and the camera zooms out, and you see that there's a good 5 minutes where he could move out the way. It's totally right. Like that. It's totally, right. Totally like that.
Now, I don't know if they're trying to say her ankle was hurt because she stepped in that hole, so she couldn't do anything but crawl, but the only thing that popped in my mind, okay, this thing moves so slow. It's coming up, approaching her ever so fucking slow. And I guess it just inserted its little elf cock and nutted in 1 second. Like, okay, you're having a baby. Antichrist.
Oh, I love the fact that they basically say, the grandfather says that it won't be an elf and it won't be a human, it'll be something. It basically tells him to go and look at Revelations, and that's what it'll be like. And certainly after the elf is stabbed and killed, the next clip shows what essentially looks like the end of Predator. It looks like the Predator set off its fucking thermonuclear device, because they're in a wasteland. The trees have all burned down. Her and her brother are fine, and it looks like she's pregnant. So even after potentially killing the elf, the world's still fucked. Very bleak ending. Not very festive, would you say?
Certainly not. Certainly fucking not.
Oh, this movie is so fucking strange. Like, really, 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 really strange.
You know what the odd fact is?
Mm-hmm.
I will watch this again.
Oh, I will. I know I will. You know what? I'll probably end up watching it with someone that's never seen it, just so I can sit them down. This is kind of, it's got, like, a few years ago, I did Winter Beast for for Duncan and Bo, come correct, and I watched it again last year, or this year. I watched it again this year, actually, again for Duncan and Bo, come correct, and the best way to watch that movie is in a crowd where you are almost indoctrinating new people to watch that, just so you can live vicariously through their first impressions. And Elves, to me, is that sort of movie where
it is that film.
It is. Yes. You want to sit and watch people actually watch this movie and then get off on their reactions to the movie. You know what I mean? That's the enjoyment.
That should be the fucking yearly watch along for Teapots.
Oh god. Oh my god. Could you
because
imagine?
These people have forced us to watch this film. We should force them to watch the film.
Everyone should watch the film. I would say this, if you've never seen Elves before, if you voted for Elves and you've never seen it, or if anything that me and Ryan have said over the last half an hour has even remotely made you think, nah, the movie doesn't do that, then you need to check out Elves. It's an hour and a half of really bad filmmaking, which, like Ryan said accurately, at the end of it, you know it's bad filmmaking, but you know you're going to watch it again. Like some sort of film sadomasochist, you know you will sit back and watch this movie again. It's really strange. Now, I mean, this review was always going to be on the shorter end. And I don't often get an opportunity to sit and chat with you, Ryan. So before we grade this one, I thought it would be quite nice to turn our attention to movies that we both love, we both really like. And is there any particular Christmas horror movies, out with Black Christmas, because we know how much you love that movie, we discussed it last year. And
I was just about to come all over this fucking microphone about Black Christmas, son.
If people haven't heard that, if you jump back exactly 1 year, almost to the week that this episode dropped, you will hear me and Ryan, like, literally jizz copious amounts of cinematic semen love all over your ears and your face, talking about Black Christmas as a movie that we both adore. But is there anything else that's like, are there a couple of movies that have to be watched in the December period of the kind of Christmas horror persuasion in your household?
Good fucking question. Christmas time, mostly in my house, it's Gremlins,
yeah,
which isn't very horror in any way. Mm-hmm. And god damn it, the other fucking ones, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, good, nice one.
That gets watched, because that's not a fantastic fucking movie either. It's bad cinema, but it's lovely cinema. I enjoy mm-hmm. the shit out of that.
That grandpa scared the shit out of me the first time I saw that movie. I'm genuinely like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And you know what? Even to the point, I didn't like it at first, but I kind of like the Silent Night, Deadly Night remake. I like that. What it is.
It's Malcolm McDowell's changing accent in that movie is the only reason that anyone should ever sit down and watch that movie. Like, just on principle, if someone tells you,
right. He did a far better job in that movie than he did in 31.
Oh god, I don't even know what was going on in that movie. I really don't know what was going on in that movie. And I'm assuming Rob Zombie has like some pictures of Malcolm McDowell doing something with something he shouldn't have, and he just uses it over him to get him in his movies now. So that you
remember that part? He's like, Malcolm, you remember you came over to my party and you fucked my dog? Do you remember you fucked my dog? Well, Petrich Farms remembers, and you're doing 31.
God damn it, Rob. But yeah, he's that movie as well. That movie is like, I just did that. I just did that for Duncan Defends on the Midnight Horror Show. In fact, it'll be out the time this episode drops, and you will hear me defend that movie. And generally, I try and jokingly defend movies. You know, I'm not serious when I do that. I just try and put a funny spin on it. But I've kind of grown to quite like that movie as well, in a really, really weird way. It's a strange... It's nothing to do with the original. It's like its own thing.
No.
And I think that that's maybe how it works.
I think it's just the idea of that clear mask with a Santa suit walking around with a fucking flamethrower.
Yeah, pretty much it. And itself is, and there's a great scene with a wood chipper. That's fucking brilliant. It's absolutely
brilliant. That's a brilliant scene. And I really love the scene where that foul-mouthed little piece of shit kid gets fucking destroyed.
Gets that a cattle prod shoved in its chest.
Right. I am a firm believer that children who want to run their fucking mouths like adults deserve to get fucking stomped into the ground like an adult. I don't give a fuck. And that child deserved to get fucking cattle prodded. And so that scene is amazing. That is my answer.
Right, let's turn our attention back to elves here. And the ultimate question, as you rightly know, sir, on this show, we do a little thing called Netflix grades, which may actually benefit this movie, because if we were doing a technical grade on this one, it'd be failing horribly. Netflix, I ask you to review from the heart and from the head, not just from the head. The rating goes 1, hated it, 2, didn't like it, 3, liked it, 4, really liked it, and 5, loved it. I will come in first and say, as much as I hate myself for saying this, this is a 3-star movie. And it's not because I liked it, but it's because I know I'll watch it again. And I can't give a movie, I can't say I dislike the movie and then say I will watch this movie again. So I have to kind of, I have to land on a 3 by some sort of weird justification where even if you ask me, do I like this movie? I don't like this movie, but I will watch it again. So I think 3 seems appropriate. Where do you come in on this one, Ryan?
Well, being the case that I am a masochist and I enjoy pain and hurting myself, I like this movie. I like this movie more than I should because, like I said, schlock cinema can be a lot of fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing will ever beat, ever, the first experience that I had tonight watching this movie and seeing where this plot goes. But God damn it, I know I'm going to watch this movie again with people that have never seen it. And then I'm going to lie. I'm going to be like, this movie is fucking amazing. You have to watch this thing. Just to see where the reactions go. And there it is. I'm going to give it an I liked it. It's a 3.
There we go. So, Ryan, before you leave us and go back to packing boxes and making your family all very uncomfortable around you.
don't fucking remind me.
Just remind everyone out there, Graveshift Radio, where can people check it out? And it might be worthwhile just touch on some of the, like, if you're a new listener to Graveshift Radio, where should people go in the back catalogue? Where should they start? Where's a good entry point for people to check out that show?
Oh, the greatest fucking entry point of that show, I would say, you know what, the first couple episodes are good, but as soon as John Rhodes and Bo Ransdell joined the group, mm-hmm. and then they came in and we just took off fucking running doing our very first retrospective series. That is where you kick in.
Yeah.
It was so long ago, I don't even remember what the fuck the retro was.
It was Hellraiser, wasn't it?
Holy shit, it was Hellraiser. It was. God damn it. Yeah.
Sorry for bringing that back up.
This is what you're going to do. All you people here, if you have not listened to Graveshift Radio, which you should,
mm-hmm.
by the time you get through all the episodes, a new one will probably be floating out there. But watch Hellraiser 1 and Hellraiser 2 and say, God, I love those fucking movies. Then pop in our retrospective and listen to our talk about Hellraiser 1 and 2. And then listen to the rest of our episodes, but don't watch any of those fucking movies. Just don't. Don't do it. You might get some perverse pleasure out of 3 and maybe a little bit out of 4, but after fucking that, instead, do anything else. Fucking, like, Duncan, make some fucking cupcakes. Stick your thumb up your ass. Anything. Do not watch those movies. Just listen to our pain. And by the time you get to fucking Revelations, you'll be so thankful you skipped it all and just listened to us, because there's some serious pain going on in those shows.
Oh, so good. So good. That's my first experience listening to Graveshift Radio was, I think it was the episode that Bo came in on as a guest. It was before you, like, recruited him full-time to your show. And, yeah, a kind of avid listener from that point onwards. One, like I said before, one of my favourite podcasts. And this is, like Ryan said, the perfect time to go back and check out the Graveshift Radio back catalogue and prep for its inevitable return as it comes back in your vicinity, 2017.
Right,
it's all settled. I can't wait, man.
It's happening, people. It is.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you again, Ryan, for taking some time out of boxing things up and generally, you know, making everyone feel uncomfortable to come on and do the podcast under the stairs.
And make your listeners uncomfortable. Fantastic.
always my pleasure having you here. And like I say, this is now, I believe you can class something as a tradition when it's done more than one time.
More than one time, and it's planned for the future as well. Yeah, that's right. I am, in the smallest sense, one day a year at least, part of the podcast under the fucking stairs. Suck it, people.
I think it's like out with like things like Baz v Horror, which are like properly scheduled parts of my top 10 shows. Like, I think you are the only person that has one dedicated show to them every year. That makes you special, sir.
I certainly have to agree. Myself and Baz are the, I guess we're the sexy ones. It's just happening. So
yeah, I'm going to speak to you off air as well, because I'm going to speak to you on air as well. But I think I may have a part for you to play in his upcoming end of year assessment, which is happening next year. So I'll speak a little word, because I think the time is overdue that I actually need you and him on the same recording. So I think I need to make that happen.
Oh, it needs to happen, Captain. Fuck yeah.
Right, Ryan, you please take care of yourself. I am going to take a very short break just now. When I come back, I'm closing out the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been episode 99. We looked at your choice for a Christmas horror movie, as selected by the Teapots listeners over on the Facebook group page via the poll, which was made up of your suggestions. And the film that won out was 1989's Elves. Hopefully you enjoyed that review as much as myself and Ryan did recording it. It was fantastic to speak to Ryan. He's a fucking cool dude, and I can't wait for the return of Graveshift Radio. So 2017, mark it in your calendars, the return of the manliest podcast this side of the Mississippi. So, like I said at the start, loads of things happening. Next week, it'll be the final Baz v Horror of 2016. Small tear in the side of the eye as we close out another year, but we've gone out in style, ladies and gents. You guys selected it, and we will cover it. It is The Wicker Man next week with the Baz. First time the Baz has ever seen it. What will he make of that movie? I genuinely don't know. I mean, I grew up with that movie, so I don't know how well it's aged. It will be the oldest movie Baz has ever covered on this show. So let's see if time has been kind to The Wicker Man, or if the Baz will destroy it like he has destroyed so many of my beloved classics. So that will be next week, and then a couple of days after that, coming on Saturday the 24th, Christmas Eve, to the peeps out there, you will be hearing and seeing, hopefully, the podcast Under the Stairs Christmas Eve video commentary, where myself and hopefully Bo Ransdell and Danny Traxon will be sitting down and looking at Night of the Creeps. Oh, it's going to be good. It's also going to be very drunk, so I apologise for anything that I say or anyone I offend on that show up front and a couple of weeks early. That should be really good as well. Remember, there's a multitude of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. You can check us out on iTunes, and if you do check us out on iTunes, please hit the subscribe button there so you never miss a show. Get access to our entire back catalogue of shows. And if you dig what you hear, leave us a review over there. Reviews are really important for us on iTunes. It doesn't cost you anything to listen to the podcast. It doesn't cost you anything to download the podcast. It doesn't cost you anything to write a review for us, but it means the world to us. The more reviews we get, especially if they are of the 5-star persuasion, the higher up in the podcast charts we get pushed, the more visible we are for people searching for new podcasts to listen to. More people that listen to it, the more we can do, the better we feel it, and the bigger our dicks get. So that's a statistical fact. Trust me. Baz will tell you. He will back me up on this one. Just ask him. Ask the Baz. What's the size of your bobby? Once again, for our American listeners, bobby means penis or dick. So, yeah, please leave us some love over on iTunes. You can also check out the podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher Smart Radio. You can check us up through our webpage, tputscast.com. You can go across, visit our Facebook group page. It is the best Facebook group page for any horror podcast ever. That's right, I said it. Prove me wrong. It's facebook.com/groups/tputscast. You can check us out on Instagram and on Twitter. The Baz is the admin of both. Both of them can be found by going to @tputscast. Nice and simple, easy to remember. So ladies and gents, I'm going to take my leave of you just now. I know everyone is frantically spending money that they don't have to give gifts to people that they don't like. In celebration of Christmas, yay, it's the most wonderful time of the year. 1989 Elves was the present you got me, listeners. Elves. Just putting that out there. For anyone interested, you can check out that movie in its entirety from a VHS rip directly on YouTube. Trust me, you want to check it out. And yeah, I'm going to be back in one short week with the Baz. Baz v Horror. Baz v the Wicker Man. And not the Nick Cage one. The Edward Woodward one. So keep your eyes peeled for it. It's going to be a ton of fun wherever you are in the world, ladies and gents. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the time zone is. Please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from under the stairs, signing off.